This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest. I'm Sharmila Ganesan and together with me is T. Xiao Ik. We have two stories for you today. First up, the upcoming Sabah state elections will see 447 political candidates compete for 73 seats. Unfortunately, but perhaps not very surprisingly, less than 10% of those contesting are women candidates. So we discuss the importance of pushing for more female voices in politics.
And then we move to the beach. So the International Coastal Cleanup Day is organized every year on the third Saturday in September. So although this global event just passed over the weekend, there are still some events planned for this weekend in Selangor, which you can volunteer at. So we will be discussing in our second story the impact of marine debris on the environment and how these small cleanups can have a big impact in reducing pollution in our oceans. So we'd like to hear from you. Although International Coastal Cleanup Day has passed, do you think you would participate in a beach cleanup, perhaps, you know, in the near future? You could participate in some of those planned in Selangor. Your options are yes, no, or I already have. You can tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
Yes, and we'll revisit that story in the second half of the hour. But now our first story about Sabah. On the 21st of September, the Joint Action Group for Gender Equality, or JAG, JAG. That's just easier, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Criticised political parties in the country for a lack of women representatives in the upcoming Sabah state elections. So the polling takes place this Saturday, and out of the 447 candidates that are contesting, only 43 are women. So that's actually less than 10%.
Yeah, that's right.
And in a statement, JAG said, "The lack of political will in appointing women candidates highlights the ongoing resistance to women's political leadership in this country. It also shows the ongoing discrimination and sociocultural barriers that women still face within political institutions, which run contrary to Malaysia's international legal obligations and commitments."
And you know, Sharmila, this isn't just a situation unique to the Sabah state elections. It's a reflection of our entire political climate. Just look at the number of women in the current cabinet. Only 13% comprise of women. It was 18% under the Pakatan Harapan government. Slightly healthier statistic, but still nowhere near what Pakatan Harapan initially had promised in their manifesto, which was 30%, and a mile away from being an accurate reflection of our society, you know, where there are only less than a fraction more males in Malaysia than females.
And going back to that statement by JAG, the organisation did also mention that, and I'm quoting here, "the underrepresentation of women at any level of governance and decision making is resulting in a democratic deficit. Women's equal participation and representation in local decision making processes in Sabah will be critical for prioritising women's practical needs related to things like housing, healthcare, education, transport, and the economy."
So things aren't exactly great in other parts of the world either. Studies show that women only hold a quarter of parliamentary seats across the globe. But there are some improvements to note. So the proportion of women holding parliamentary seats have increased by around 14% since 1997. This hopeful pattern is seen in countries that are generally considered more conservative in nature as well. So for instance, the Arab state region as a whole has seen a dramatic increase from 3% to 24%. Studies also show that 75% of all female prime ministers and presidents have taken office in the past two decades.
Right. And, you know, some of those, you know, really prominent female politicians in the world right now include the likes of Jacinda Ardern, Angela Merkel, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And when you ask most people about Malaysian female political leaders, you know, names like Nurul Izzah and Hannah Yeo do come to mind. Yet there still seems to be this narrative that politics is a man's game. And the pattern suggests that women have a huge hill to climb to break into politics.
Yeah, we know there's still a lot of work to be done. You know, it is widely acknowledged that 30% is the necessary level of representation in most parliaments to make a significant impact in policy-making decisions. But, you know, some of you might be wondering, why should it matter to you, you know, as the average Malaysian, if there are or aren't enough women represented in parliament? What sort of changes world that representation bring? Mm. So to get some perspective, we have on the line Tam Xie Wei, the campaign manager of the 111 Initiative. And this is an initiative that aims to ensure that there is 50% female representation in Day One Rakyat. Welcome to the show, Xie Wei. To start off, what went through your mind when you found out that only 43 out of the 447 candidates contesting in the Sabah state elections are women?
I thought that it was a missed opportunity, actually. I mean, Sabahan parties have been talking about inclusive politics, and this was a great chance for all parties to step up and prove that by including more women in governance. It's quite a pity that both federal and state parties didn't actually put an effort to include more women candidates. In fact, I think not a single party contesting in the upcoming elections met the international benchmark of nominating at least 30% of women.
So why is it important to have more women representatives in a state assembly as well as in parliament?
Well, the state assembly and parliament is meant to represent the people. But how can that be true when women make up half the population in Sabah, yet only less than 10% of the candidates are women? And only voters from 32 out of the 73 constituencies even have the chance to vote for a woman candidate. I think it's important because in a democratic system, we need representatives from various backgrounds to actually table a wide array of issues for consideration, for discussion and proposals.
So there's no denying that having more women in politics, particularly in parliament, is really crucial for democracy and equality. But how will having more women in politics help to propel the economy and also improve bread and butter issues, particularly in Sabah right now?
Well, it has been proven that more women in politics not only supports gender equality or benefit only women. In fact, it actually empowers women all around when it comes to decision-making in the family and community. So when we have more women in politics representing us, these leaders would often build strong communities and benefit society as a whole in the long run. But if we're talking about specific issues that are related to Sabahans in particular, there has been proven that women in politics tend to oversee completion of projects when it comes to improving infrastructure. There's also the issue of reproductive rights that I've heard coming up from Sabah as well. So these are things that having more women represented in decision-making spaces can actually improve these issues being talked about.
So there are studies that suggest that women are more likely to walk across party lines, or in other words, to be nonpartisan when it comes to matters concerning policymaking. Why do you think this is?
Yeah, well, I think for one, when women are in politics and are representing these sort of issues, they are often very much, I would say, personal. And yeah, in that similar study as well, they do see that women in politics often bring up more issues that are related to civil rights and social welfare and more policies that are meant to support women and children. So I think that they tend to be bipartisan because the issues are the ones that would be platformed and prioritized rather than party politics.
So whenever the topic of pushing for adequate women representation in politics comes up, there will always be those who say, well, who cares if they're men or women as long as they're quality candidates? How do you respond to this argument?
Well, firstly, I think that when conversations start like that, they are often done in bad faith. But I would respond with that we don't seem to be as concerned about merit when it comes to how we have lots of men currently dominating seats in the parliament. And when we find some of our politicians incompetent or making harmful statements, we don't fall back to gender rhetorics. So I think that, you know, on one hand, I would say those arguments are done in bad faith. But on the other hand, I would say that if merit has always been the metric, I don't think that we'd be here needing to fight for better representation. Because unfortunately, there are many other factors that come into play when it comes to who is being represented in politics, you know, and what kind of merits are we talking about here? You know, do we talk about people who have experience in grassroots communities, or are we talking about people with support in terms of their background education and funding and things like that? I think it's important to take all of that into account when we think about who we want to platform in politics.
So, Xiewei, can you talk about some of the challenges and obstacles faced by women who are trying to make it in politics, particularly here in Malaysia?
Yeah, well, especially here in Malaysia, there are quite a few challenges. I would say there are three main aspects of it. There's like the social aspect, cultural, and political aspect. So in terms of the social aspect, there is still a bias towards women's roles in public domains. So, you know, culturally and in religion-wise, there are still perceptions that women belong in domestic arenas. Mm-hmm. And, you know, culturally, there are still patriarchal standards that women must support their family first, so similarly. And politically, there's also been gatekeeping in terms of the candidate recruitments. So going back to my previous conversation about why, you know, when people ask, why aren't there more women in politics? Is it because, you know, we don't even have that many candidates to begin with? I would say that to actually be put up for elections, parties actually have to select and decide. And so parties actually need to give women more chances to prove themselves by selecting them to fund their campaigns and their elections. But I would say, of course, one of the most challenging obstacles that face women in particular, and we do see this a lot in Malaysia, is actually harassment. And often this is not even targeted towards their politics, but very personal attacks.
Before we let you go, could you tell us a little bit more about your initiative and how you push towards ensuring there's a 50% female representation in Dewan Rakyat?
So the 111 initiative aims to empower Malaysian women's political participation. So we are now starting off with a national awareness campaign. But down the line, we do hope to combine this with structured programs such as capacity building and mentoring by local women politicians. And overall, we just want to foster a strong collective of empowered women to play a larger role in governance.
Thank you, Xiewei. That was Tam Xiewei, the campaign manager of the 111 initiative. Xiewei, have you ever given much thought about the idea that the representation of women in parliament or in Dewan Rakyat is so low? Has that been something that's impacted how you would vote, for instance?
So it's a tough one to answer. Definitely when I look at the parliament or say our state assembly across the board, let's say here in Selangor where I am a voter, I want to see a face that represents me. Number one, yes. So in a sense, I do think about that and it does matter to me. Number two, of course, when I vote, I need to know that this candidate, and especially looking at their gender, are they fighting for issues or are they championing issues and concerns that affect me? And I think that across the board, a female politician would be more in tune. And as we've said repeatedly already earlier, Xiewei has brought up as well, that women are able to put the spotlight on issues that wouldn't traditionally be apparent to a whole band of male politicians, you know?
Yeah. And I think that, you know, just in recent months, I was thinking about this. It's become so apparent in this pandemic how important and how inadequate at times our social structures remain when it comes to things like childcare, when it comes to things like even care at home for older people, families and, you know, work-life balance. All of these things are things that I feel would do better to have an equal representation and a female perspective because more often than not, they are the ones who are in tune with these issues, like you said. Mm-hmm. And we need people to bring them up and to speak about them from personal experience, not just from a macro perspective.
But at the same time, those are the same structural issues that hinder many women from entering and being successful in politics because to be a politician is such a taxing a choice of career, right? And I can imagine for women to be able to fight for that kind of independence in your family, where you don't have to be the default person that household responsibilities fall to. that look of resignation on your face.
I know. I was actually just thinking also about what Xiaowei said in terms of the harassment.
Yes.
Because we had YB Kasturi Pato on Daily Digest just a couple of months ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when she faced being called some pretty awful things in the hall, and she had this really profound thing to say. She said, when other young women are watching this happen, mm-hmm. how can they be encouraged mm-hmm. to come in? And she said that's why she spoke up, because mm-hmm. she feels that she should show people that this is absolutely an environment that a woman belongs in.
Yep.
And I think that's very inspiring, but it's sad that that needs to be done in the first place.
Yeah, I know. And you know that line that Xiaowei shared just now, you know, if merit was the metric all along, we wouldn't need to have this discussion about gender representation. You know, and it's such a double whammy for female politicians and those aspiring to enter politics, you know. In the first place, their merit comes secondary to their sex.
Yeah.
But at the same time, when they are in that arena, they are objectified and they are picked on for reasons other than their merit, for reasons other than what they bring to the table.
Yes, you know? Exactly. It's like you're expected not to represent yourself, but you are constantly picked on mm-hmm. for being that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I just wanted to close off with Ruth Bader Ginsburg just passed away a couple of days ago. And one of the quotes that people keep sharing from her is apparently when someone asked her, when will there be enough female judges in the US Supreme mm-hmm. Court? And she said, when all of them are female.
All nine of them are female. That's right.
And her point was, nobody bats an eyelid when all of them were men.
Mm-hmm.
But when she suggests that all of them could be women, there's still so much pushback.
Yeah.
So I think until we get to the point where nobody bats an eyelid,
yeah,
we still have a lot of work to do.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, that's a bit of a downer to end on. But if you have thoughts on, you know, whether it matters to you that we have equal representation in Parliament, you know, do female candidates, do you look for female candidates in the parties that you might support? Tweet us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. We do have to take a quick break, but first here's Aretha Franklin with Respect, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.